I have thoroughly enjoyed from Thursday night to this moment. And this moment, I need your prayers to continue. I have opened my Bible to James 1:10, and if I cover this like I see it and understand it and share it and communicate it with you properly, I'll have to go back to Genesis 1 for a little bit. But the next book after James is 1 Peter, and that's where I want to come back to close. So that means that from Genesis to 1 Peter is lots of scriptures pertaining to this subject that is mentioned both ways in James 1:10. And it says here, and I could read all the first 10 verses, but I'm going to read verse 8, 9, and 10. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. Now my subject is flowers and grass. And that's a subject that you hardly ever hear mentioned, but it's all the way from Genesis to 1 Peter. And it's in Psalms and Job and several verses in between. But I especially want to show you what this book is teaching in comparison to us people. Now, I just read you about a wise man and a double-minded man and how unstable he is and so forth. And we have heard sermons in this meeting here about don't look back but look forward, and I love that. But while we sojourn in this land of pilgrims and sorrow and double minds and then alert minds and then rightly divided minds and so on, I would like to say that the two things mentioned in James 1:10 is the flowers and the grass, but I'm going to turn that around to grass and flowers. And the reason for that is in Genesis 1. And I want to tell you this. There is discussion, even among us primitive Baptists, about types and figures and shadows and what represents and comparative figures. Is this talking about eternity or time of salvation, or is it talking about the world out here, or just our few assembled together, rightly dividing and knowing the truth? So, if you'll be prayerfully attentive, look in Genesis 1. In the beginning it says God, not the beginning of God. But in the beginning, God, who has no place you can go back and say where he started as a being. But here's what he did first, and while we were in this time world, and all the things he created in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. But I want you to notice these two things are the first that he did. He said, "And begot God created the heaven and the earth." And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness night, he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. Now you could study for the rest of your life on just those few verses right there. And when you go to school, you might even take some courses dealing with a lot of these type things in various fields of endeavor. In a capitalistic system, you're going to get a degree and probably try to get a good job and dealing with some of these things. But I haven't got to the verse I want yet. And God called a firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now so far, we've got dirt and the sun and the moon, and we've got waters out here he's gathered together. But what are we going to put on the ground? What's on the earth? And verse 9 says, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. Dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass. First thing he mentions, that's going to go on the ground. The herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind. You mean we got different kinds of grass out there. And it says, and it was so upon the earth, and verse 12 now, and the earth brought forth grass and herbs yielding after his kind. So they're not all the same type things. You can drive down the highways out here today, and I'll tell you, if you're in Texas, you'll see a lot of mesquite trees. You'll see a lot of oak trees. You'll see a lot of fruit trees. And even the cattle, which comes on later, will be in a hot day, usually along the fence line or under the shade of the tree. Another point I want to give you too, and I told my wife several years ago we'd be driving down through Central Texas and the hills and the valleys and this and that and so forth. I said, you know, if I turn on the radio while we're traveling, I hear men fussing and fighting politically and all kind of stuff going on there. But I look out here and the cows are grazing on the grass, or they're standing in the shadow of the tree, or horses, sheep, goats, whatever. But the point is there not any of them fighting with each other? They're all grazing together. Or the horses are all at peace. Who's doing all the fighting? People. What God made out there in this creation is not fighting with each other. Now, notice verse 12 again. The earth brought forth grass and the herb yielding after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, what we've got now is that grass must represent something more than just being literal. And I'm going to prove this when I get to Isaiah chapter 40 in just a minute. But we've got all kinds of fruit trees, but I don't find anything. In fact, I can read here further where he didn't bring forth thorns and thistles and negative type of plants out there until after the fall of Adam and Eve.
Right.
It's all positive here. God did not cause, did not plan, did not predict, so it had to happen. But his foreknowledge knew what would happen, but what he created was all positive. Now, Let's go to Isaiah. Now, I'm skipping a lot of verses here, but I want to look at the clock too. Isaiah comes along as one of the first Old Testament prophets, pointing us forward to the New Testament grace church age and even the blood of Calvary's cross and all the things that happened downstream from that Genesis account of first creation. And he talks, we can read about Adam and Eve and Noah and Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Jacob's 12 sons and how he predicted in Genesis 49 they would all meet out here in a land where they knew not of. And he even told them, you won't even have to build a building or a house or anything. Everything's already in construction in that land of promise. And you 12 sons, here's where you're going to live, which house you live in, what you'll be doing when you get there, and so on. That's all interesting. But John the Baptist is going to be one of the first preachers in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and so forth to start preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, actually, you can spend a lot of time just on John the Baptist. But here Isaiah is prophesying not the background of Moses and the laws and all that, which you can start reading about in Exodus chapter 20. But he's pointing us forward to where we're sitting right now. And John the Baptist is going to be one of the first preachers in the New Testament church. And I began to read in Genesis 41, I mean in Isaiah 40, in verse 1, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. That's the 12 tribes, that's the law. That's, try to comfort them from keeping all those laws perfectly and so forth. And cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Oh, we're going to have a highway over here across the rough places. I want to inject this just for a moment. A lot of my family, a lot of churches that I've been associated with that have families in there, if you start tracing their lineage back, it'll go back to eastern states and covered wagons coming west. And they didn't have no highways or even paved roads. They just had some cow trails and so forth. But they're moving forward. In fact, I've done this on purpose. I've talked to a lot of people, mainly among our people, the Primitive Baptists, and I find that their discussions of their lineage back to mother and dad and grandparents, great on back, their families came over on covered wagons from Tennessee or some state back there. And that's why and who Texas is today, not Indians and cowboys. Now, having said that, I'm building to something here that I want you to catch carefully. And he said, I'm going to tell that one that's going to cry in the wilderness. Verse 3 now, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain shall and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Now, if you travel in the Dallas-Fort Worth area right here, that's not necessarily the roads are all straight and level, are they? Or you wouldn't be here this morning. Now, verse 5, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. The glory of the Lord. Now there's a subject right there. The glory of the Lord, as we find in the New Testament, we start reading in Matthew, it's building up to the birth of Christ, his childhood, age 12 and on up, and he starts preaching in Matthew 4, and then he starts leading some disciples up on the mountain. He starts for chapter 5, 6, and 7 of the Sermon on the Mount to the disciples and so on. And he's building up to something that they still are not really aware of where he's headed and what he's going to do. But if we read all these parables and all these comparisons, the figures or types or shadows or whatever you want to call them, they all will point to that highway in the desert. And it says here, and the glory and straight places made room and rough places made smooth. Verse 5, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. And for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice of him saith then, cry. And he said, but what shall I cry? All flesh. Here's what I want you to go preach, John. And here's my subject. What am I going to cry? I'm supposed to go tell him about the straight roads and level places and the glory of God and all that. But what am I going to call? He said, oh, here's what I want you to tell everybody. All flesh is grass. And the flower of the field. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. There's my subject. Did you know we're all grass? And the grass withereth, and the flower fadeth. But the word of our God shall stand forever.
Amen.
It don't matter how many graveyards you visit and how many tombs you read different names and families and so forth. The grass grew up and the flower grew up and the grass withered and the flower faded away. That's your lifetime on this earth. Is that going to be the end of it? No, that's the first thing I want people to hear in the New Testament grace age. Now, O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, all you legalists that bring with the strength, lift up it up and be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. And that's just Isaiah, part of Isaiah 40. But what are you going to go tell the people? Did you know your grass and your flowers? And the first thing he put on this earth had five major areas, and the flowers have two. What is grass? It's the first thing he made cause of nothing negative. And grass don't grow thorns or thistles. You can walk through it barefooted. Now, I'm not talking about it's got. Now that would be back then. Now you might get a thorn in your foot now, see, but that's after the fall of Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
Now, follow me carefully. It's the lowest thing on earth. This little grass. And it's green. And it's smooth to walk through. And a flower. And also, grass is, there's not anything grows any closer than each blade of grass. So what have we got so far? Humility and fellowship. I hope you see that. And also, if the wind's blowing out of the west, They're not fighting each other, they're all leaning in the same direction. The blades of grass on. Or if there's no wind, they're all at peace. They're not fighting each other. They're getting along. And they are green and beautiful. And they will grow up. And if you don't mow the grass, it'll get heady. And it'll get to where they're not being as friendly as they were when they were little bitty. I want you to see that. We got some young people here. Yeah. Did you know you're grass and you're growing up? And you're not fighting with each other. But you do need some discipline. You need to be mowed every once in a while, keep mowing. So, what's going to finally happen? He says that grass is finally going to wither. That's why we have cemeteries.
Yeah.
Now the flower, I want you to see this. The flower has two things. It's beautiful to look at. It's very pretty to see, and you're this flower too. And it don't matter what flower it is, it's beautiful to see. And it does have something else about it. It has a good aroma about it. Smells good. Has good two things there. And that's you also. You're grass and flowers. From the Old Testament, and John the Baptist was told by Isaiah, here's what you tell the people. You're grass and flowers. And Isaiah prophesied a lot of other things, but that's not really my subject. Now I can turn over to Psalms, and David quotes it several times, and Solomon quotes it some, and others in the Old Testament will say things about it. But I want you to see over in the New Testament when John the Baptist comes on the scene, and he's about to start preaching, and I can turn over and start reading in John chapter 13, and it says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And the supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and sent to God. And you can keep reading on down about John the Baptist and his preaching and his teaching and his leading. And in fact, Jesus said in one place, I could turn to it, there's not a greater than John the Baptist. That's in there. Except you could be as great as he is if you are these things in grass and the flowers that are blooming beautifully. Now, I realize we've got another minister that's to follow me, so I'm going to cut this down a little bit, but I have said already pretty well what I want to tell you. During your lifetime on this earth, you start out as the lowest humble thing. You're closing fellowship. You're green and alive. And there's no friction or fussing or fighting going on in the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's all beautiful to look at like a flower. And it smells good, like whether it's a rose or a lily or whatever it is. That's what you are. Now, we've heard sermons at this meeting here about forget all this business here and press forward. Spiritually, that's right. Amen. But while you're doing that, you're still green grass and a smelling good, beautiful flower while you're on this earth. And I read to you from James, and I'm going to read to you from 1 Peter. And I have a whole list of scriptures that deal with this, and I suck it into your own purpose. So I'm not going to quote all of them, but I've covered the major points of it. Now, go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, 1 Peter was a major one of the 12. He's a major one that is named over in Matthew chapter 10, where he named those 12 apostles. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Now, I have not covered when the thorns and thistles started coming, and when Adam and Eve violated and was cast out of the garden, and all the negative total depravity factors. I've skipped all that, but that's where the grass, why the grass starts withering, and the flowers start fading, and it don't smell good anymore. But spiritually, we're still through the blood of Jesus Christ and a contract called the Everlasting Covenant. And that's before Genesis 1 and 1, where I first opened. And now, we're here alive. We have different age people here now. And you're in the church, the kingdom of the living God, and that's why you're green grass. And you're a smell-good, beautiful flower. And 1 Peter goes on reading in verse 3, Blessed is the God, may the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Did you know next spring? Now we're in the summertime now. Did you know next spring? That grass is going to need to be mowed again because it's going to turn green and start growing. And the flowers will start blooming again. And have a beautiful smell about them. That's not only people on this earth, but especially in the true, rightly divided church kingdom. Verse 4. As to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now we could talk about the end of the last time, but that's another subject. Wherein ye greatly rejoice through now, though now, for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Do you believe that grass out there and those flowers could handle a terrible hailstorm or something? That might come in the spring. It could come right tomorrow, July the 4th. It could happen tomorrow. Maybe not right here, but somewhere. And verse 7, that's a trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. You gold us? Though it be tried, and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Did you know you can't see his body, but that body is in you, as in your grass and in your flowers. and his honor and smell and beauty and the lowliness and humbleness and the closeness and the fellowship and not fighting each other is represented in us because Jesus Christ is mentioned here. In verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified, and the glory that should follow, unto whom it will be revealed, it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you. with which the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things angels to look into. The first time I ever heard this mentioned, I'm just a little boy. Four, I don't remember three, but I remember being four. And being at the Gravel Hill Primitive Baptist Church in Austin, Texas, Dickens County, Elder Virgil and Brenda Lawrence were the two preachers there then at that time. And I remember sermons they preached about telling me when I'm four, I'm grass and flowers. And that has been in my mind all my life. And I'm sharing with you what the Bible has to say about that. And I'm in the New Testament now as I'm beginning to wrap up. And Peter is saying this. So, verse 13, wherefore gird up your loins of your mind, not your body, your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's another subject. The revelation of Jesus Christ comes at the new birth. And then you learn more about that coming to church meetings and hearing the true gospel sung and rightly divided. Verse 14, as obedient children, not fashion yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. I don't want to see the grass fighting and waving against each other. I don't want to see the flowers fading and the grass dying, but they all will wither and they all will fade until next spring. And next spring tells me there's never been another spring like this one that's coming. I'm talking about eternal heaven. Did you know it'll always be springtime over there?
Yes, sir.
Because it is written, be ye holy, for I'm holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation,
right,
received by tradition from your fathers. And a lot of things people are still trying to do according to the old law, yeah, thinking they got to do this, that, and the other to become a flower or a grass. Now, I'm closing. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world.
Well, this here was prophesied before Genesis 1:1.
And before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God.
Are you ready now?
Obeying and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren.
That means you grass blades are all leaning in the same direction together. And that is a good, low, humble, close fellowship with a wonderful smell, odor.
And it says that, and you see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
And here's my closing verse.
Yeah.
Now, all this right here fits. And you might find some other grass fields around that look good, but if you're not careful, you'll get a splinter in your feet trying to walk through it.
Amen.
But here, no. And as you're walking through that harmony, it's like a flower smelling good.
And verse 11 says, verse 24 says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, therefore falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And I hope that's what I've told you.
Amen.
This morning, is that it's the gospel that tells you your grass and your flowers, and you're low, you're humble, and you're together. And it gives off a wonderful smell. Thank you. God bless you.